I will be reading Colossians 4, 2 to 6. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone.
Awesome. Thanks, Kira. I asked Kira to read scripture this morning. I thought, what a great opportunity, because the Apex are in this morning, so grade 6, 7s, and 8s. You get to stay in today. Lucky you. You get to hear me, so that's great. I'm excited about what's happening here at Lamberck and how things are changing. April was a really good month. When I look back at months of time, if you've missed a bunch of weeks in April, you missed out on a lot of really good things. We started off hearing from Smita, just talked to us about what's going on in Calcutta. And then Jen Taylor came, and she is going to be hired here to be our next kids ministry pastor, which is fantastic. Tons of you guys in here are kids ministry volunteers. And I just want to say thank you to all of you who volunteer and engage in that. Still looking for a couple of kids volunteers, but, you know, I've been had the privilege of leading the kids program for the last 2 years. And you guys are just awesome, and the leaders that are downstairs right now are fantastic. So thanks for your investment in kids, that important ministry that's happening here. And then the last 2 weeks we've been hearing from Scott, and now he's going to be coming to be our pastor. I'm excited about that. I feel like cheering and like getting all excited and stuff. And so yeah, I hope that you guys are feeling the same way, that you're excited about things to come. And it's going to be a good summer, and I'm looking forward to our September kickoff and what happens here at Lamberck. We're now in our 5 Sundays of May, and I get to kick us off. And then next week, Simon Pretty is going to be sharing with us, so I'm excited about that. And just excited about hearing from different people. We get this chance to kind of just a collage of people kind of sharing their hearts with us about what God's doing. And so I encourage you to mark your calendars and be a part of what's happening here in May. Don't miss out. There's really good things happening. So, would you just pray with me? I'm just going to pray before we start here. So, oh God, thank you for this, your church, and I am excited about how you are answering prayer. We've been calling out to you, God, as a church, the people in here. We've been calling to you and asking you for direction, for wisdom, and knowing what to do, and you've answered us, and so that is good. And for that, I want to thank you, God. You are so good to us. Thank you for providing in ways beyond what we can even imagine. And there's more good things to come. And so thank you for that. And I just pray a blessing on our time together, and as we look into our communication with you and what that looks like, how we can be drawn to relationship with you through conversation. Yeah, thanks, God. As these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the reality is that every day God wants to talk to us. He wants to hear from us. He wants us to be talking to him and communicating with him and asking him questions and listening to him and hearing his voice, calling out on behalf of other people, but also talking to him about what's going on in our lives, what we're up to. Many of us have been praying as a group for this church, that we're the church here together, but then we also go from here and we are the church scattered into the neighborhood. God has been answering our prayers as we've been calling out for a new pastor, and Scott's going to be coming with his family. And now we as a church get to write the rest of our story. We get to continue in prayer to seek God and to see where he would have us go. I think in this next step, in these moments coming up to Scott coming, prayer is going to be essential. In our world, there's lots of prayer initiatives that have happened that are actually changing, I believe, our world. Some of you maybe have heard of the Global Day of Prayer, which is happening in a few weeks. It started about 7 years ago, something like that, and it is now in every nation in the world, the Global Day of Prayer. Every nation, never before that I've heard of, has every nation in the world said, I'm going to be praying on one day. I'm going to make this a reality. Some of you maybe know of this. There's this place in Lagos in Nigeria, and the first Friday of every month, they say somewhere in the neighborhood of 1 million people gather to pray all night. They pray together, and they meet in this room that's like something like a mile wide and a mile long in this building. And they get together and they pray all night. They call to God, and they pray, and they say, God, what would you have for us? And they petition him, and they're encouraged, and they encourage each other as they do that. Prayer, I believe, is one of the great common grounds for us with people in our nation, and our neighbors, our friends. Even in some of the most difficult situations, I found that people are open to me praying for them. You know, as long as you get a breath mint on, you know, right? They're like, yeah, I want to talk to you. I'm happy to have this opportunity for you to pray. If you believe in this, then sure, call out to your God on my behalf. And it's this common ground that we have. My question for you is, how is your relationship with God? How is your prayer life with God? I love talking about this because it reminds me to do it. It reminds me about my prayer life. It's not something that you think, man, I've never thought of that before. But it is something that we need to be reminded to do, reminded to make part of our routine. This idea of prayer pulls my mind towards this passage in Colossians 4 and an invitation to be devoted to prayer. Our ability to be devoted to something or a few things requires us not to be devoted to everything, which means sometimes in life we have to shed off other things so that we can be here, that we can choose the best things in life, right? We all had to make the choice today whether or not to be here, to choose to be here or not, right? We have to make those choices every day, whether it's a prayer meeting or youth group or all the different things that we can choose to be a part of. We have to choose those things. We have to try to choose the best thing as we talk to God and communicate with him. God, what is the best thing for me today in my relationship with you? Scott was talking to us about Colossians 3:16 last week and the dwelling of God's word here in us, and that we are not just here for us, but we're also here for those that are around us. Like Scott said, there's these problems in the town of Colossae. And one of the problems was this idea, I believe, of their devotion to God, their devotion to prayer, making this a part of what they did every day. Paul was writing to help them make some necessary adjustments. And I think maybe for some of us, we maybe need to make some necessary adjustments as well. Colossians goes on to talk about the duty of our family relationships and our position in our families, which I actually talked about. So that's Colossians 3:16, and then kind of the next little section in there is talking about kind of our position. And then this passage comes up, this idea of devoting ourselves in prayer. In some ways, there's some contrast in here. First, there's the hidden life of prayer, followed by the prayer in the marketplace. Two totally different things, right? Our hidden life, what it looks like, our relationship with God one-on-one, but then also our prayer life in the marketplace, how it is that we express ourselves around us to everybody that we see in our neighborhood. How do we pray for them? How do we pray for the people that we see every day at school or at work or just in our daily, you know, person at the grocery store? How is it that we can be God's hands and feet in our neighborhood? Continual prayer is to blend with unwearied action. There are three kind of simple ideas here in this passage that I think will help us to pray as we contemplate the ways that we pray. So if you don't have your Bibles open yet, if you want to pull them open or pull up your app, you can take a look. Or I have it on the screen behind us. Colossians 4, verse 2. We're just going to kind of focus here for about 20 minutes on this. So verse 2 says, devote yourselves to prayer. Devote yourself, or continue steadfastly, or be strong in prayer. It implies this persistence or this fervor. I love the word fervor. It's one of my favorite biblical words that I never learned until I read the Bible. And fervor is like, if you're standing by a fire and somebody puts on like way too much wood and you're like, whoa, and you kind of have to back up because it's so hot. That's the fervor. That's like the heat that's coming off. And it's like this spiritual fervor where people like, no, have you ever met somebody and you're like, I think that person might be a Christian? Because they put off this fervor, this like, oh, you know, there's something different about them and the way that they live their lives. And it says that have this fervor, this persistence in prayer. Being thankful refers to the spirit by which prayer must be offered. Maintain your zest for prayer by thanksgiving. One thing that we have recorded from Jesus' followers is their question to God. They, you know, there's lots of things they could have asked, but they asked God, they asked Jesus, Jesus, can you teach us how to pray? You know, Jesus' followers could have said, can you teach us how to plant a church or to evangelize or to teach us to preach a sermon? Can you do that, Jesus? But we don't have any of that recorded. What they did ask for is, can you teach us to pray? They realized that the key to Jesus' ministry was prayer. They saw Jesus sneaking away to pray all night, or Jesus would be praying off on the side and a bunch of people would come and he'd be heading off over this way and he'd be sneaking away to prayer, right? They realized, oh, okay, if I really want to grasp this prophet's teaching, if I really want to understand it, then I need to understand how to pray. If they wanted to follow in Jesus' footsteps, take hold of his teaching, the key to that, I believe, was prayer. I was listening to a sermon this week by Pete Gregg, who wrote the book 24/7 Prayer. And he came out with this brilliant way for me to kind of unpack this passage, because sometimes what happens is I get home from church and I'm like, that was a great message, but I don't really remember what it was about, like kind of the gist of it. But what was like the essence, you know? And sometimes that happens to me. And so in hopes that doesn't happen to you today, I'm going to kind of steal his idea as he looked at this passage. He had this idea of praying inward, praying upward, and then praying outward. Praying inward, upward, then outward. I'm going to get you to say it with me, just because that helps us kind of solidify things in our mind. So in just a second, I'm going to say, so praying inward, upward, outward, okay? So everybody ready? Praying inward, upward, outward. Awesome. Perfect. So first we're going to talk about praying inward, which is kind of like this devotionally. Verse 2 says, devote yourself to pray. Devotionally praying for God. Mark Patterson's book, The Circle Maker, he says this, prayers are prophecies. They are our best predictors of your spiritual future. Who you become is determined by how you pray. Ultimately, the transcript of your prayers becomes the script of your life. He's saying, how is it that you pray into your future about what is to come? God knows what you need, and he knows it even better than you do. So why not talk to him about it and say, hey, God, what would you have for me? What does my future look like? Should I try out for that sports team? You know, you're in high school. You're like, should I do that? Or should I do this thing over here? What's the best thing for me? What school should I go to? What job should I get? Should I apply for this job? Should I just stay put where I'm at? There's all these things that, you know, we wonder about, we think about, but how often do we actually take those things to God in prayer? How often do we just take our everyday things? You know, what's the most important for me, God? I was praying with my boys a few weeks ago. My boys are 3.5 and 5. And we were just praying, and oftentimes before bed, I pray with them when I'm home. And I said, you know, hey, do you guys have any prayer requests or anything you want to talk to God about? And they're like, yeah. And so, you know, oftentimes it's prayer for daddy something, or pray for, you know, grandparents, or pray for my cut of my knee or things like that. And so I thought, oh, maybe I think I want to try to mix it up a little bit with them. And so I said, do you have any questions for God? And Liam right away, he jumps in and he's like, yeah, I do. He says, I want to ask God, do I have to keep listening to my parents? And I'm like, okay, well, why don't you ask God? And so in his own way, he called out to God and he said, God, do I have to keep listening to my prayers? And then I said, well, just be quiet then, bud. Just be quiet and listen for a second and see if anything pops into your mind. So he did. And I said, anything pop in your mind? And he said, yeah, I feel like I was like, keep trying. You know, and I thought, I'm like, wow. That is so cool. What a good word. And then Blake jumps in and Blake's like, oh, I got a question. Keep in mind, he's 3.5, right? And so this is what Blake pipes up and he says, I have a question. And he says, I want to know why we can't hear God. I said, well, then ask God, you know, ask him. And so he does this little prayer to God. He says, God, why can't I hear you? And I said, okay, you do the same thing, bud. Just be quiet and listen and see if you can hear God's response. I'm quiet for a minute. They're little guys, so I try not to make it too long, right? And he says, oh yeah, I think I heard something. He says, because I'm up in heaven, you know? And for a 3.5-year-old, he's like, oh, okay, that makes sense. And yet I was able to continue to have a conversation and say, and yet you just heard from God, right? You just heard from God in that moment, right? Even though he doesn't say something out loud like I'm talking to you now, you can still hear God's voice. We can still call out to God and he whispers to us, right? He whispers to our spirit, I believe. I think it's important to test those things against scripture. But notice in the midst of that, there was no condemnation, no condemnation of me, no condemnation of them. That what was said aligns with what I believe about who God is and about scripture. And so we have to test the spirits, right? We don't just blindly, you know, if you hear them saying, man, you should really tell that person they need to change. You know, or I should really tell that person this, or I should tell that person this. And our temptation is we kind of drift off in our mind sometimes. And, you know, and then we think, oh, God's wanting us to be the Holy Spirit. No, the Holy Spirit's the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's job is to convict us of sin and to encourage us and to challenge us, right? And we don't need to be that to each other, unless you're kind of in a position, you know, you're married or something like that, and sometimes Deanna's the Holy Spirit to me and reminds me of things that I've talked about before, and so there is the right place for that, but I just want to be cautious, I guess. As I tell that story, I love it, but I also feel like there's some potential danger in there and stuff, so. Anyways, so praying first inwards, right? Talking to God on our own behalf about what's going on in our hearts. Secondly is upward. So it says here, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. When we pray upward, when we pray up towards God, it's, I believe, this idea of thankfulness. How are we thankful in our lives? Gratitude, having this attitude of gratitude. Watching has this idea of being on guard. That we're praying, not like watchfully. It's kind of like, the disciples, you know, when they were, talking to Jesus and Jesus like, I'm going to go over here and pray. You guys stay awake and pray along with me. And they all fell asleep, right? That's not what we're talking about. Watchful, that we're actually like watching out for each other, that we're, one of the things I loved about what, Scott said, I hadn't planned on saying this. Anyways, he said that there's a place in which, He watches over the flock, right? And as a parent, my job is to watch over my kids. And are we watchful for what God would want for us? Are we watching out so that we don't get pulled away from things? You know, as we pray upward towards God, are we watching ourselves? Are we being careful about what we do and don't do? I feel like God's been doing a really good thing here at Lambrook. And I'm really excited about that. We pray for all sorts of different things. And I feel like God is answering our prayers. And we need to go to God and be thankful to him. You say, God, thank you. Finally, you know, and I'm excited. I get a, you know, for me, as I look into September and stuff, I get to focus again right onto youth ministry. And we have a lady that's passionate about kids. It's going to focus in on kids. And Scott's going to be coming and focus in on what's happening in our church. I'm excited and I'm thankful to God that he's providing for us and that we're going in the right direction. And I feel like God's going to take us there. Having this attitude again of gratitude when I pray up. So inward, upward, and then lastly, the rest of this passage talks about outward, missionally. How are we engaging missionally in our world? Interceding for people. Verse 3 and 4, Paul says, and pray for us too that God may open the door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. And I need this prayer too. That I would proclaim it clearly as I should. Sometimes my tendency is maybe to shy away from some opportunities. You know, you feel like there's an open door to something and you're kind of like, well, now is a good time or maybe later, you know, and you kind of like, well, right? And like we shy away from those things, right? But pray that I can proclaim boldly as I should, you know, to the people that we come in contact with. To those people in our sphere of influence, right? The people that are around us that we can have an impact to. Here's my challenge for you. As you think about praying missionally for people around us, for those that are there, every time that you get a sense like, I should be praying for them, I challenge you to do that. Every time that somebody comes up to you and says, would you pray for me? I try to make this my practice. I pray for them right there. I say, let's stop. In the elevator, you know, like in the back hallway, as I'm walking somewhere, somebody comes by, like this is going on, and I just stop right there and pray for them. And then I try to pray for them every other time that I think of them. You know, I try to think about every other time that they come into my mind, like, oh, I got to pray for them. And actually this week as I was preparing, I was thinking about different people, things that are going on in people's lives, you know, that are happening. And I was praying for specific people. You know, I know some of the things that are happening in your lives. And I was challenged this week. I'm speaking on prayer. I better be doing it this week, you know. And so I was challenged to be praying for many of you and the things that are happening in your lives. There's lots of ways to ask for prayer. And in our community, I want to make sure that you're aware of a couple. Maybe you already know about them. But on Wednesday morning, there's something here called Prayer Works. Opportunity for you to be involved in prayer. It's 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. Come here Wednesday morning and just, there's a group of people that kind of pack out that room sometimes in there and they pray. And if it's not enough room, we'll burst out into here, you know. I'd love for lots of you to come and be a part of that. Also, maybe you don't know that if you have something during the week and you're like, man, I just need somebody to pray for this for me. Maybe, you know, something happened to your family or just you're in the midst of something that's really stressful. There's opportunity for you to be prayed for. You can just prayer@landmark.com. You know, it comes to some people and, they'll kind of forward it on to everybody and say, hey, can you be praying for this? And I get those emails and, some people have sent out emails about things that are happening for them and we've been praying for you. And so there's another way for you to be involved. Verse 5 says, live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. If you know there's an opportunity, would you pray into that before you get into it? You know, maybe you know that if I am out mowing my lawn, every time I go mow my lawn, this one guy comes out and says hi, right? Because he's like the neighborhood guy that kind of says hi to everybody, right? Lots of neighborhoods have those, right? And it's like, hey, before I get out there, I'm going to start praying. Or maybe as I'm mowing the lawn, I'm going to be praying for this guy that I have the right words to share with him or her when they come to talk to me today. Just in every moment, God, give me the right words that I can be your hands and feet to these people. Verse 6 says, let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so you know how to answer everyone. I love making pancakes. And so, but once in a while, like you forget an ingredient or something like that. Some of you guys have pancakes. These guys are laughing. If you miss salt, man, they don't taste good at all. You know, like if you miss salt in your baking and stuff, it's just not quite the same. Right? And I think, we need to have that kind of like, that little edge as we talk to people to say, I've been thinking and praying about this and I actually have a word for you. Can you imagine that if you are thinking and praying and you feel like God says something to you to say to somebody else? Have you ever had that happen to you? So there's this crazy story I want to tell you about as I was thinking about this. And it's a guy that I know from Kelowna. He was actually in the high school. Before I moved to Victoria, I was a school pastor at Kelowna Christian School. And he was, when I left, he was in grade 10. And now he's graduated and kind of moved out. And he was in Los Angeles at this conference. And there he is right there. His name's Matt. He's on your left. Right, and he's there, and they were actually at this revival. And so I'm just going to read you kind of what he said on Facebook, and I loved it, and so I thought I would just share with you guys. So this is what he says. My boy, Brennan, and I were praying for people last night at the Coliseum, and he does say boy, B-O-I, when all of a sudden Brennan looks out and says, dude, how funny is it that in the middle of a revival, this dude is selling pretzels? Matt says, hey, do you got a word from him? Brennan says, nah, G. Matt says, are you sure? Not unless his name's Warren. He's like, huh? He says, evidently Brennan had got a word of knowledge for a black guy named Warren a few weeks ago and was praying to meet him ever since. So Matt goes up to the pretzel vendor and asks him if his name's Warren. And it was. He got rocked. We started praying and prophesy over him. And I got a word from him that God wanted him to be like a child for the rest of his life. The guy interrupts and he says, no way. Warren interrupts and says, no way. Or he says, dude, no way. I'm about to celebrate my 50th birthday. I'm going to throw the biggest kid party ever with party hats and everything. Matt says, come on, Jesus. In the midst of the revival, pretzel dude got rocked by the kingdom and he got to see his faith light up and be so encouraged by God. He felt so chosen and special. How do we answer people with a little bit of salt? Have you ever asked God if he has a message for somebody? praying outwardly for people, praying for them, what they have, what maybe you've got something for them. Once in a while, I'll get like this sense I need to be praying for somebody, right? And so I'll text them or I'll call them up. And once in a while, they'll be like, man, I've been having a really hard day. Thanks for praying for me. I remember one time I was at Bible college and I wasn't making the best choices with some guys I was hanging out with. And my mom calls me and she says, I was praying for you and I just got a sense like I should call you. Is everything okay? And I totally lied. I'm like, yeah, mom, everything's good. I'm fine. Thanks for calling. You know, I'll talk to you later. I gotta run. And I was like rocked. I was like, wow, like God loves me so much that he put like on my mom's heart, me, and my mom called me and said, hey, you know, I'm praying for you. It kind of rocked me, you know, and I was like, wow. And I encourage you to be taking those little, as you're talking to God, take those little things that are coming on your heart and mind and don't just leave them there. You know, take them and say, okay, I'm gonna take this and I'm gonna use it. I'm gonna call somebody or I'm gonna text them. I'm gonna just encourage them, say, hey, I'm praying for you today. Praying for those around us. Sounds like this happens all the time, the way that I'm talking. But it doesn't happen to me like every single day or anything like that. And so I'm not here saying like, if this isn't happening to you every day, then there's something wrong. It happens from time to time. It's part of our relationship with God, I think. Right? It's part of getting to know God. So inward, upward, and outward. Okay, so here I am talking to y'all about this. So you got to go home and you're going to bed. Tomorrow you got to get up and go to work or school or whatever. What does this mean for you? Like, I want to kind of make it a little bit more practical for you. I think that it's important as you're talking to God that that you talk to God in the way that God has designed you to talk. You know, we each have ways that we connect with God that are different than other people. You don't have to. The people, I love how we have different people come and pray here because everybody talks to God differently. And that's okay. There's no right way to talk to God. He's just like, I just want to hear from you. You know, I want you to talk to me. I want to have a relationship with you. I know for me, one of the things I love to do is I'll go find water somewhere, whether it's the ocean or a stream or somewhere, and I'll just go talk to God. And I don't sit. You might get that as I'm standing on stage. I'm not a, you know, I have to sit a lot in my office, but if I can, I like to get up and walk around and move and stuff. And so I'll go and I'll talk to God for a while, and then I'll write something down, and I'll stand up and I'll walk down the beach a little ways, and I'll, you know, be talking to God, and I'll think of something, I'll sit and write it down, or I'll, you know, look out at the ocean. That's how I connect with God. That's my way. We each have ways, and maybe as even as I'm explaining this to you, you're thinking, my way is like this. Maybe it's just alone before bed or in the morning, or maybe, we all have our ways of connecting with God. And I just want to remind you of that and encourage you to do that. Whether it's journaling or praying, talking to God, figure out how you connect with God in prayer and do that. Whether it's sitting or running or journaling or, you know, whatever it is that you do, figure out how you best connect with God and do that. Let me conclude with this thought from Colossians 3, verse 17. It says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God through the Father through him. Talking to God, giving thanks to God. Maybe it's this prayer that allows us to live life differently in our frame of reference. I need you to remember, we're called to do so much. We're called to live everyday things, loving our kids, loving parents, being kind to each other. Having prayer as part of our day changes the way that we live life. Brother Lawrence wrote this cool book called The Practice of the Presence of God. And in it he says this, we ought not to be weary of doing little things for the love of God, who regards not the greatness of the work, but the love with which it's performed. Every part of our day, doing it, loving God. Every aspect of our lives, saying, God, I'm offering this as a sacrifice to you. Whether it's cleaning toilets or cleaning dirty diapers or, helping people with brain surgery or something. Whatever it is that you do, like offering it all to God. Every single thing. Maybe we're called to prayer and then as we live life, in everything we do, the mundane, the relational, every single part, no matter how much of a thought you think, oh, this is important, every single thing we do is important to God if we offer it to God as a sacrifice, no matter what it is. I'd like to invite Simon and the band to come back up on stage. And I'm going to ask you guys to kind of step out a little bit. And for some of you, it might make you uncomfortable. And that's when I don't really want to make people uncomfortable. But I do want to challenge you to kind of step out in maybe a different way than you normally have. In a moment, I'm going to give you 2 minutes. There's going to be a little countdown clock kind of on the corner there. And I'm going to give you 2 minutes to pray with somebody right beside you. So in little groups of kind of two or three, this is what I'm going to ask you to do. If you can just kind of, you know, you can kind of look around and see somebody. If there's somebody by themselves, kind of you can invite them to come over or something. And what I want you to do is for just 1 minute each, just pray for one word. So everyone now, I want you to think of one word of something that you want prayer for. I'll give you some examples just to help make it a little bit easier. Maybe it's school or family, relationships, a friend. Maybe you can even say the friend's name. For work or a neighbor or church or time or money or exams or a boss or housing. We each have things that are going on in our lives, and what a better time than being together in community than to pray for those things. And so I want you to share with the person sitting beside you. You're just going to have a minute each to pray, so you don't have a long time. So just one word. You don't have to explain the whole details, just the one word that's on your heart or mind. God knows all about it. You don't have to announce to him. He actually knows. He knows what's going on. And then, you know, maybe later you'll have to go to him. God, I want to explain more about this. This thing that you put on my mind as I was thinking about this, this is what I want to pray about. And you can go to God later and be like, God, this is what I need prayer for. This is what's going on. And so in groups of two or three, I want you guys to do that. Just something that you want to talk to God about. Just one word saying, this is my one word that I want to talk to God about. If you're uncomfortable praying out loud, that's okay. You can just say to them, I'm just going to pray quietly for you. I'm not going to pray out loud for you, but I'll pray for that one word. All right? And so I'm just going to ask everyone now, if you just kind of turn to your neighbor, turn to the people beside you, and just share that one word. And then when we're done praying, the band's going to start leading in worship. And so just encourage you to find that one person beside you and just share the one word. And if you can just pray for each other.